Well, hello, everybody. This is Kathy Caprino, and welcome to our November session of our Career Success Monthly Training Teleclass program. I'm absolutely thrilled you're here, and I'm so excited to talk about today's topic, which is exploring launching your own venture. I had an awfully great time preparing this, and there's so much to talk about. So we're going to just jump right in, but I do have a few administrative details that I want to share with you, if I could. First of all, those of you who are brand new to this, I'd like to welcome you. Thank you for being here. Again, this is a monthly teleclass series. It's all designed to help women build and create success, happiness, and reward in their careers, in their businesses. I am, for those of you who don't know, I am a woman's career and leadership coach, an author, speaker, and trainer, all around helping women advance in business and build careers they love. I'm the founder of Elia Communications and the Amazing Career Project, and I do a lot of writing as well for Forbes and AARP and Huffington Post. And my deepest joy is helping women in groups, in teleclasses, in one-on-one coaching to move forward towards their highest vision. So that's a little bit about me. Some administrative details. There are two ways you can join today. So you can just use your telephone, as many of you are, but you can also go online and access this via your computer, because I do have a slide deck, and that may be very helpful to you as well. And the way you do that is visit instantteleseminar.com/?event ID=464-45016. And I am going to, here's my plan. I'd like to deliver about 50 minutes of content, and then open the call up for questions. And honestly, this is a fantastic opportunity to ask anything that is on your mind. No question is too big or too small. Here's your chance to talk to a career and business coach. So please don't be shy, and you can submit your question online as well. And I will try to get to as many as I can in the order that I get them. Right now you're muted, but again, a little later I am going to open up the line so that you can, what you'll do is press *2 to raise your hand and ask a question. And I would say if there's something burning throughout my 50 minutes of presentation that you really want more clarity on, you know, you just press *2 on your phone or submit a question, and I'll take it if I have time. All right. Again, the calls are recorded, and the slides and the link to the audio are going to be sent to you within 24 hours. And I do want to share with you that the curriculum for this, the monthly curriculum, the topics are somewhat established, but I'm very, very open. I teach and train about these topics constantly. So if you have a burning topic that you don't see in my list, and again, I'll give you my website URL for you to check those. If there's something you're just dying to see, send me an email at Kathy@ElliaCommunications.com and tell me, you know, put career success training in the subject line and tell me the topic you'd love to see. And if I feel there's enough juice around that for other people, I will definitely do my best to fit that in. We also have a career success training Facebook page. So please like that and join it and offer your questions, your wins, your accomplishments, your challenges, and let's make that a vibrant community. This is a new program, so we're just getting it off the ground, and I would love your help and your interaction and participation for that to really make that the vibrant community I'm hoping it will be. And finally, I have a small gift or a wonderful special gift for you at the end of the call that I'd love you to hear about. So stay with me till the end if you can. Okay, I think that's it. Let us jump right in now. I'm going to the slides. And again, as it's loading up, you can visit that by going to http://instantteleseminar.com/?event ID=464-45016. All right, folks, here we go. Exploring and launching your own venture. What we're going to discuss today, just a brief background about what is entrepreneurship. What's an entrepreneur? Because that word is tossed around constantly, and a lot of people have different definitions. What are the inner motivations for exploring entrepreneurship? the outer steps that create the most successful entrepreneurial endeavors, how women and men differ in viewing and running their new ventures, how to ensure you're not running away from something when you're thinking about, I want to start a business, and what to do if you are running away from something, and I'm going to get into that in a minute. The top requirements for successfully evaluating a new venture. We're also going to look at why so many small businesses fail today and what you can do to avoid that. And finally, we're going to help you look at a bold plan for your evaluation of the feasibility of your new venture. All right, that's a lot to cover, so I'm going to go fast. And forgive me, my voice is a little bit scratchy. I have a little bit of a cold, so I hope you can bear with me on that. I also want to tell you that why I'm passionate about helping women achieve their career visions. Many of you have heard this, but if you haven't, I just want to share very briefly that I had an 18-year corporate career that didn't fit. I was very successful on the outside, made a lot of money, big initiatives, staff, managed $30 million budgets, but on the inside I was not successful. It was bumpy, bumpy, bumpy. And those bumps turned into full-blown crises when I turned 40. And you can read all about this story in my book, Breakdown Breakthrough. But, you know, for a long time in corporate, I was really unhappy with a lot of what corporate America is, but I didn't understand that. I didn't know how to frame that. I just felt like I was chronically unhappy. And I didn't understand that so much of my dissatisfaction was around the corporate model. And, you know, after a very brutal layoff after 9/11, that just knocked me to my knees. I said, okay, that's it. I am starting my own venture. The heck with this. I'm done. But I did something I call the pendulum swing, which we're going to talk about, which was a mistake. But the point is, I did get a master's degree in marriage and family therapist. I launched a therapy practice. And I found that while the training was absolutely life-changing, the professional identity of therapist didn't suit me as well as coaching. And what I found was I started giving talks around Connecticut to women about how do we thrive through change. And what I saw was literally 9 out of 10 of the women who were in my workshops and programs were as miserable and broken down as I had been. And I said, this is an epidemic. Nobody's dealing with this. Nobody has solutions that work, and I want to be part of the solution. So that's how I developed my focus and my business. Why I share that is I have my own business, my own consulting and coaching business. And, boy, it's been through a lot of bumps, and the way it started is not how the way it is now, thank goodness. So I've lived every one of these slides that we're going to talk about. I've done every one of these things about how do we explore it, how do we launch it, business plans, business models that work that don't. So I'm really coming also from a place of I've lived what it is to make missteps and not do these things appropriately and the pain of that. So feel free to ask questions all around that as well. Excuse me. All right, let's start. What is an entrepreneur? Well, there's a million definitions, but the one I like and the one we're using today is it's an individual who identifies a business opportunity and assumes the risk of creating and running a business to take advantage of that idea or that opportunity. That's it. That's an entrepreneur. And for the sake of our discussion, that's what I'm thinking in terms of entrepreneurship. So what are the common reasons we read and see for becoming an entrepreneur? I mean, I've worked with over 10,000 women in 10 years in some capacity, and I've heard everything you can imagine about career and business. And here are some of the very common reasons. Oh, I'm ready to be my own boss. Achieving financial independence. You know, a lot of people, I interviewed Shep and Ian Murray, who are the founders of the fabulous brand Vineyard Vines. They're incredibly successful. And they told me, the idea of, they were both working in the corporate world, different capacities, but they both hated it. And they both said, listen, when you're ready to quit, you call me up and I'll quit too. And it happened just like that. They both quit on the same day, I think. But I think it was Shep who said, the idea of going in every 6 months in your job and talking to your boss and getting incremental promotions and raises, it didn't work for them. I mean, they are really about achieving financial independence, and they did it. A third reason is enjoying creative freedom. That's me. You know, I can't stand being governed by committee. I can't stand that if I have an idea, it has to go through 50 different steps and take 6 months. I like to be able to run with my ideas. That's what you can do as an entrepreneur. Having greater control, using your skills and knowledge, escaping corporate career models and environments that don't fit, and creating your own business model that aligns with who you really are. So those are just some of the very common reasons that people think about becoming an entrepreneur. So most of you on this call are women. So let me run through some wonderful stats about women-owned businesses that I didn't know till I researched it. Women-owned firms produce employment for more than 23 million people in the U.S., or 16% of what was our 2008 workforce. That's a lot. And approximately 8% of the total workforce work directly for a woman-owned firm. There are 150 countries with less population than the number of people women-owned firms employ directly. Wow. If U.S.-based women-owned businesses were their own country, they would have the fifth largest GDP in the world, ahead of countries including France, the U.K., and Italy. Nearly one-half of all new businesses in this country are launched by women. But here's an interesting flip side of that. Businesses started by men are 3.5 times more likely to reach $1 million in annual revenue. And what's interesting is, and I learned this because I did some research before interviewing Susan Sabat, who's the president of Amex Open, which is all for entrepreneurs, and that was a fascinating experience for my Forbes blog. The assumption has been made that women are just simply less capable or constrained somehow in running highly profitable businesses with higher revenues, revenues over a million. But what the research is starting to show is the gap in business performance, most notably revenues we're talking about, may be the result of the choices of industries that women choose. The research shows that, you know, even in the corporate world, women tend to go for industries, or men, let's put it this way, go for industries that are high performing in terms of revenue and growth, and women don't tend to make those choices. So fascinating, fascinating. I mean, that's an exciting platform to talk about. And I found that in my work with women, many women consider entrepreneurship for these reasons. They feel, just like I was talking about, the existing corporate model just doesn't fit, right? And boy, I talk about that in my book as well. There, when you look at what corporate America is, and this is just not to bash men, it is not to bash men, but it is a white male competitive career model. Why? Because that's who formed it, you know. And there are four assumptions that go into that about what professional success has got to look like. One, that you're going to have a linear career. You're going to go in at 21 or 22, and you're going to go, stay in the same industry, in the same function. You're not going to off-ramp for children. You're not going to on-ramp. It's linear. The second thing is it's about face time and full time. It still is. I mean, my goodness, there's still an incredible lack of flexibility in terms of how we work in the corporate world, as you know. The third assumption in this white male competitive career model is that in your 30s and 40s, you're going to be demonstrating and displaying the most intensive commitment to your professional life. Well, what are many women doing when they're 30 and 40? They're having kids. Not all, but, and these are certainly generalizations, but the research bears them out. And the fourth assumption that doesn't fit women is that power and money are what motivate growth. And just research after research study shows women have other priorities that they value, like meaning and purpose and contribution. So for many women, the corporate model just doesn't fit, and they're starting their own ventures to you know, create something that does fit. A lot of women also have said, I just want a dramatic change. I'm done with what I've been doing. Women say, I have talents that I wish to put to use in different ways, or I have a fabulous new idea that I don't see anyone doing the way I want to do it. They also say, I want to build my own team. I want to build a structure that can grow and that can scale, and I want to do it my way. Another reason is they say, I want to do something meaningful in this chapter of my life. And often it's in midlife. Some women think this is going to be very fun, easy, and rewarding. And we're going to talk about projections that people make about entrepreneurial life. And we're going to have you vet those and make sure that the thinking you have about building a new venture is realistic. A lot of women have said, I'm going to have more work-life balance, more flexibility, and more control. We're going to talk about that, too. That's not always the case. In fact, it's very rarely the case that you have more work-life balance when you start a business, but we're going to talk about that. And finally, a huge motivation is, I've always loved to do Blip. Now I want to try my hand running a business offering that. And again, we're going to look at that motivation because that can be a very faulty motivation for starting a business, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So I want to ask you, do you know what your motivations are? You're on this call. You're obviously exploring your own venture. Have you peeled the onion, and do you know very specifically what your motivations are? And do you know how sound they are? Do you know if you're making any projections about it? For instance, let me just give you another example. A lot of people come to me in corporate, they're in corporate jobs, and they say, I don't know what I want, I just want to work in nonprofit or academia. And I'll say, why? And they'll say, because it's obviously more fulfilling. It isn't more fulfilling necessarily. I work with a lot of women in nonprofit and academia, and many of them want to leave. It depends on the situation, depends on that job, that organization, that function. So what we want to do is make sure that your motivations and your thinking and your assumptions are accurate, because you can make terrible mistakes when they're not. I want to tell you a little bit about the research that I've done about the top challenges for professional women. So I did a year-long, after I had my revelation that I want to be part of a solution for women, I did a year-long research study on women overcoming professional crises. What I found is that there are 12 very common hidden crises working women face. And this is in their own business or in corporate life or working for someone else. 12 crises, and they fall under four categories: empowerment with yourself, with others, with the world, and with your higher self. And what I want to share with you here is the top challenges I hear are, I can't balance life and work. 52% of the women I studied have that experience. I can't get out of this financial trap, 42%. I can't find ways to use my real talents, 42% said that. I can't do work that I love, that's 41%. And 33% said, I simply can't help other people or the world as I want to. So what I want you to begin thinking about as you listen to this information is, does that reflect you? Because what I want to tell you is, running from where you are today to launching a new venture because you're struggling with one of these crises is not the thing to do at this moment. What is that you must address your challenges today, right now, right in this moment. If you're working and you're slaving and you're working 7 in the morning till 9 at night in your corporate job and you just can't stand it and you hate your toxic boss, jumping to starting your own venture is not the answer today. You have to shift first, because what happens is, if we don't do the work of building our boundaries, speaking up more powerfully, understanding what our priorities and our non-negotiables are, and honoring those, if we don't do the work of that, then your challenges simply reappear in the next venture, even if you're trying to go as far as possible away from it. So if any of this resonates, check out my book, Breakdown Breakthrough. It offers 13 inspirational stories of women's transformation and a look at all of these crises and what we can do to overcome them. Okay. Well, what holds people back from building careers and businesses they love? There are 5 things that I see over and over and over that are keeping people from building the success, whether in their career or their own business, that they long for. And these are true blocks. The first is, they truly don't understand how talented and amazing they are. They don't know what they're capable of. Women in particular, and I'm talking all about women here because that's mostly who's on these calls, they don't appreciate and don't understand their talents and skills. Just an hour ago, I had a new client, and struggling to figure out what she's passionate about. And I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. Write down a list of every skill you have, every skill that you've used for every job, every in any job, and let's get the whole list down. And she said, that list would be empty. I said, how can that list be empty? She said, I don't really know. And I walked her through an exercise that got her to understand. But the point is, that's many more women than you would understand. Women say, I don't know what my skills are. I really don't know what my talents are. Well, you've got to know. You've got to know that and be able to articulate that. Whether you're going to stay in where you are or launch a new business, you've got to know. The second block that holds people back from building the success they want is a desperate, afraid, fear of risk and losing what they've already created. And the flip side of that is women, people, can be very afraid of success. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but we can be very afraid of success because we're going to leave our tribe behind. Many of us were raised with parents, you know, from another generation, mine included, who were, you know, what does everyone need to strive to be rich for? Just be happy with, you know, very little. Or they might put you down for, you know, seeking recognition in a field or wanting to be a thought leader. They may say, why do you need that kind of, you know, stroking? They, you know, a lot of people, a lot of the messages we got in our family were about stay small. So we're afraid of risk, we're afraid of success as well as losing what we've already amassed. The third biggest block that holds people back is money and security. They don't have a healthy relationship with money. They don't understand, and I'm going to share it with you a little bit, but I'll jump right in now. I just read a book this weekend, Tapping into Wealth by Margaret Lynch. Everyone should read this book. It offers tapping techniques. Tapping is it's called EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. And it helps you release subconscious blocks around wealth, money, success, being visible, shining, speaking up for yourself. It's a powerful book. And I've had EFT done to me. I've seen it done. I'm trained as an energy healer too, and a therapist, and I've seen these techniques are incredibly powerful to help you release blocks that you don't even know you have. So if you're sitting here on this call and you feel like, gosh, I'm blocked. Why can't I have the success I know I deserve? Why am I struggling? I want you to read that book, Tapping into Wealth by Margaret Lynch. But the point is you need a healthy money relationship right this minute. Don't think about launching a business if you don't have an empowered money relationship, meaning you're not afraid of money, you're not angry at money, you love money. You have to love it. You have to embrace it. You have to know how to grow it and manage it, not be an enemy of it. Okay? The fourth block is people don't have a way to see what's possible. They just think, I have this beautiful idea of writing a book or launching a blog that monetizes itself, but there's just no way. I don't see how that's possible. So they just cut themselves off right at the knees. And the fifth biggest block to more success is the core belief, I don't have what it takes to do what I want. You know, as I was building this deck, I thought, I want to present to you what I wish someone had taught me when I launched my therapy practice and when I launched my coaching business. Boy, did I wish I'd taken an entrepreneurial class. So that's what I'm trying to do here for you, just a primer, a beginning look at what it takes. Because maybe you don't have what it takes today. Most entrepreneurs don't. And that's another thing. We look at people who are amazingly successful and think, oh, well, they came out of the chute knowing more than I, or they have more than I, or they're smarter, or they're prettier, or they're more educated, or they have more money. And that's just the wrong way to look at it. All of these people, I mean, some had a leg up, like Ian and Shep Murray's parents were entrepreneurs, so they had that. I came from a corporate. My dad was a corporate guy, so I didn't know what entrepreneurship was at all. And that can be a disadvantage. But maybe you don't have what it takes this minute, but you can certainly go out and get, through action, what it takes. All right, I want to talk about small business challenge. Let me just check for a minute if anyone has a question. Again, if you're online, you could submit those to me through that online screen. Okay, don't see one there yet. All right, back to the slides. Sorry, it takes a minute every time I leave that one screen for it to load again. All right, here we are. Small business challenges. Every year, over 1 million people in the U.S. start a business of some sort. Wow. Now, here's the reality. Only two-thirds of startups survive the first 2 years, and less than half make it to 4 years. And we're going to talk about what the problem is, because there is one, and there are numerous problems, and we're going to talk about those. And interestingly, only 20% of U.S. companies with 1 million more or more in revenue are women-owned. So I want you to think about, you know, what your goals are, and I want you to go into it with eyes wide open about what needs to be done to build it to a level that's going to sustain you financially. And we all don't need $1 million, that's for sure. And I want to share, even that is a very kind of male construct. I've interviewed quite a lot of entrepreneurial experts. One is Mike Michalowicz, whose book, The Pumpkin Plan, is a great, great, great book. Read it if you're thinking of launching, you know, a small business or consulting practice. But even he said, you know, if you're under $1 million, it's not really a business. And I don't really agree with that. Not everybody needs to be generating $1 million in revenue, and we shouldn't sniff at that as if it's something inconsequential. If it fits your lifestyle and gives you what you need to be happy and fulfilled, what's wrong with that? I don't think we should be looking at it as a less than. All right, so what's going wrong here? Why are so many small businesses not doing what they need to succeed? Well, what my favorite book in this topic is The E-Myth Revisited, and all of this info is in the slides, folks, so you know, don't worry if you're not getting these titles. It's by Michael Gerber, and he's created a whole consulting and coaching business around these books, The E-Myth and The E-Myth Revisited, E meaning entrepreneurial myth. And I would definitely check it all out. But what he has found is that owners are doing the wrong work and that their business model is flawed. So what does that mean? What he's uncovered is that there is a fatal assumption of these people starting businesses. And here it is, that you believe that if you understand the technical work of a business, you understand how to run a business that does that work. Let me just be specific. Let's say you love to bake, and that's the example he uses of a woman who chucks everything and decides she's going to open a bakery because she adores baking. Well, her fatal assumption that he helps her revise is she believed that loving baking and knowing how to bake is the same thing as understanding how to run a business that offers baking, baked goods. So the reality is the work of a business and running a business are just 100% different, totally different. So I'm going to talk about my own experience as a coach and having a coaching and consulting business. Let me just give you an example. Let's say you want to be a coach. And I can't tell you how many women come to me, often because they're ready to chuck their corporate life that they can't stand anymore. Or I had a woman the other day who was just laid off, high-level HR leader, made a lot of money, over $150,000, and she wanted to start a coaching practice. And what she had done is what many people do. They go and get a coaching certificate, and they get a tiny bit, one class on how to build a business. That is a recipe for failure. Failure. I know because I was on the board of the ICF, the International Coach Federation, for a few years. I saw a lot of coaches that failed. I work with coaches. That is just an absolute recipe for failure, to think that some training, you know, in your field and then a class on marketing is enough to run a business. So the idea that coaching, I love helping people, I love nurturing people. A lot of people want coaching because they think that's going to be so fun. What they don't understand is most of their time needs to be on building business, getting clients, marketing, promotion, becoming a thought leader, writing, speaking, because you're standing out. You need to stand out from the global market. Using coaching as an example, coaching is done on the phone. So if someone wants a fabulous career coach, they can do it with someone who's in Alaska, Dubai. You know, I have two clients in Dubai, actually. You know, so you are competing against a global marketplace. So that's, this is not to be doom and gloom, folks. I just want you to be incredibly eyes wide open so you know what the challenges are so you can navigate through them and not be doe-eyed when the challenges hit you, you know, in the face. So what are the other factors that contribute to so many small businesses failing? It was a bad business idea. You know, it wasn't vetted enough. People didn't look at the competition. They didn't look at the soundness of the idea. There were cash problems. Over and over you hear people thought that, you know, they had enough money and they had enough money to live for 6 months. Well, it can take 3 years and more to have a business generate the revenue you need. So they had cash, insufficient cash. Managerial inexperience or incompetence. Running a business is managing. It's managing people, resources, tasks, money, projects. So we don't have to have been an executive vice president, but we certainly have to understand how to manage resources and initiatives. There can be a lack of customer focus. I see this in the small businesses that I work with. This is one of the worst problems. They don't understand their niche. You know, let's say they're a graphic design firm, and I work with this a lot. You know, I don't know. I'm good at helping anybody who needs a package design. Nope, nope, nope. You need to be very specific. You need to know who your customer is. You need to dimensionalize it with great detail and know how to find these people. For instance, for me, I'm a career coach for women, and it's mid-career women. You know, people that come to me right out of college or in college, they say, oh, I've read your stuff. I love it. I pass them to people that are experts in helping 20 to 25-year-olds because it's that specific. So you need a true niche. And finally, small businesses fail because they get to a certain point, but they're unable or unwilling to grow, and that is a traditionally female issue. They're very afraid to let go, and we're going to talk about that. Anybody have any questions that they'd like to share right at this moment? You can raise your hand by pressing star 2 on the phone. I'll wait 1 second and see if you have any burning questions. Or you can submit via the online form. You can just ask your question and I'll get back to it if I can. Oh, here we go. Hi, Sherry. Thank you. What suggestions do you have for people who don't have a way to see what's possible? I'm going to talk about that, Sherry. There's steps that you need to take. It doesn't happen, and you know what? People will say to me, like when they're looking for a job, I'm just looking and looking online and I'm just getting so depressed. That isn't the way to see what's possible, to look outside yourself. It's an inner job. So I'm going to talk about that shortly. Great question. Thank you. All right. Oh, time goes by so fast here. All right, the next slide. I just want to talk quickly about what amazingly successful career women have in common, and I've interviewed so many, hundreds of them. I just want to share this with you. You can go back and again, read my book and read my Forbes blog and Huffington Post and AARP. But here's the traits. So if you're thinking of launching a venture and you want amazing success on your terms, think about this. They're above-the-line thinkers. They don't blame, below-the-line thinking is, ugh, it's the economy, it's my boss, it's my spouse, everything's against me. Above-the-line thinkers are, I see what the challenges are, but I have what it takes to be the master of my own ship. Their goals are natural outgrowths of who they are. So if you haven't ever made over $30,000 and you think you're going to launch a venture and the first year it's going to make $1 million, that's a leap that probably is never going to happen. Your goals have to be natural outgrowths. I mean, it absolutely could, but often we have fantasies that are so far out that we sabotage ourselves on the way to get them because we don't believe we can. They're not afraid to access their power and speak powerfully. They're ready to commit time, energy, and resources to achieve their goals. They get help. People who are disempowered don't know that they need help and are afraid to go get it. You've got to get help to do this. We cannot succeed at a high level alone or in a vacuum. None of us can. Other traits of highly successful women, they honor their priorities and honor their boundaries. Just had a client earlier today as well. It's all around the boundaries. She's killing herself in her job, working, you know, 8 to 9, can't stand up for herself, can't say no, always says yes to every initiative. That's a boundary problem, and you won't have a successful business if you can't erect a stronger boundary. And finally, they believe in themselves without fail. Yeah, you can mess up. Yeah, you can make a terrible mistake. But do you believe in your ability to pull this off? You've got to have that, because if you don't, you'll just throw in the towel much too quickly. So I want you to think about, not now, but when we hang up on the call, what is amazing success to you? What is it? I have two quotes here. One is mine, and here it is. Amazing success is living a life of passion, power, and purpose with authenticity, clarity, and ease. I like threes. There were two sets of threes there. Passion, meaning you love what you're doing. You love who you are and the gifts that you're offering. Power, that you can navigate through the challenges powerfully. And purpose, you know why you're on this planet. Another wonderful quote is, people are happiest when giving form to their life intentions in ways that help others. I do think, male or female, businesses that have a purpose behind them, that are making a difference in some way, and that can be a new bra, it can be, you know, like Spanx, Sarah Blakely, it doesn't have to be Mother Teresa, but people are happiest when they're giving form to their life intentions in ways that help others. I want you to think about, what is amazing success to you? If you don't know that, you can't make a step yet. And to really gain clarity on who you are and what you have to offer and what your standards of integrity and non-negotiables are, I want you to download my free career path assessment and take it. It's 11 pages of questions I wish someone had asked me. And the link is eliacommunications.com/free-assessment. I want you to take that. All right, let's talk about why start a business. Starting a business takes talent, determination, 100% unwavering commitment, hard work, and persistence. It is not something that just falls in your lap. It just doesn't. It takes also a great deal of research and planning. So we talked about the advantages: independence, potential for financial rewards, and potential for improved lifestyle, learning opportunities, creative freedom. Here's the disadvantages. There is increased stress, no question. Nobody starts a business and goes into it without stress. There's financial risk, and sometimes it can be substantial. I know. I lived that. There's a substantial time commitment. There's a necessity for performing tasks you don't want to. If you're starting your own business and it's on your own, you're not going to start with a staff of 10, usually. You've got to do stuff you never wanted to do. Like, a lot of people think, oh, in my own business, I'm only going to do things I love. It's just not true. It's absolutely not true. It can be incredibly tedious. But you're doing it for something that you really believe in. So it doesn't, you know, it doesn't feel tedious all the time. And there is a serious risk of failure. So are you good with that? Do you understand that? Because if you can't, if you're risk averse, you're not going to succeed, because it's a risky thing. So, you know, I have a slide here on types of businesses, starting from scratch, buying an existing business, or a franchise. You can look at that, slide 13, but I'm assuming, because you're exploring launching your own venture, we're talking about kind of building a business the way you want it from scratch. So that's what I'm going with here. Again, I interviewed Susan Saba, the president of Amex Open, and she said some great things, and I want to share them with you. What do three things entrepreneurs must have to succeed? And it's confidence. Oh, I wrote confidence, and connections. Interesting. It's not that. It's confidence, competence, and connections. I'm sorry about that. Confidence, competence, and connections. So you have to think big. This is the confidence piece. You have to have confidence in your vision and set out to scale it from the beginning. If you think, I'm only going to run this thing myself, that's going to crimp your potential. So read the E-Myth Revisited about, you know, he has everyone think like a franchise. No, not everyone wants to be McDonald's, but thinking like you would be makes you able to scale. And, you know, that's just a better way to think for more success. You also have to perfect your pitch. You have to articulate your mission incredibly clearly. Nothing's more valuable than a concise, interesting pitch that gets listeners thrilled about your company. And you can read all of this in my Forbes post, How Different Are Female and Male Entrepreneurs. And again, that link is in the slides. The second thing you need is competence. So if you don't really know anything about business, and you don't know anything about the business idea you have, you're going to struggle. First of all, you've got to know your numbers. If you want to scale, you need to understand the drivers of growth. You've got to have detailed budgets. That's crucial to determine whether your growth plan is feasible. And if you want investments, investors have to see that your objectives are clear and that your plan is grounded in financial reality. Second thing is you've got to delegate to deliver. You have to think of yourself as the most important asset and deploy yourself in the best possible way. You've got to focus on what you do best and let others do the rest. Let me give you an example. I don't have actual staff, but I have partners and vendors and suppliers. I have a VA. I have a branding person. I have a marketing person. You know, I have a website person. Sure, I could actually do a lot more of what they're doing. I could do. But there came to a point where I'm not using my talents and my abilities in the right way. I'm not deploying my strengths if I'm trying to do all this myself. I just can't grow. And the third thing you need is connections. You have to network, network, network. If you're an introvert and that just makes your head roll, you're going to have to get over that. You cannot build a business if you don't want to talk about it, truly. And you can't hire someone just to business develop. You are the spokesperson for it. So you have to look for opportunities and potential in every situation. At Starbucks, on the soccer field, on the hockey rink, you know, wherever you are, you need to talk about what you do. I promise you, you know, I'm kind of known in my community. People will stop me. I was at a hockey banquet, and a mom said, oh, I just heard from my friend who called you about her husband. That's how it's got to go. People need to know what you do and how you do it. And you have to spread the word to cultivate believers and customers who are going to buy into your success and your growth. I want to quickly share four ways that female entrepreneurs are different. And this is, again, from Susan Sabat's article. And truthfully, these four ways hold women back. The first is they start their businesses, often in midlife, with a mission or purpose behind them. And that's awesome. That's not a downside. Their desire is to offer a new service or product that's going to make the world better. That was me. You know, let me bring new solutions to the table for women. Men tend to start their businesses with a goal of making money. So women will typically talk about how and why their business got started, where men are going to talk about how big the business will grow. We need a little bit of balance of both. It's awesome that you're talking about your mission, but men are immediately thinking about how they're going to make money. And if you're in business, I remember, who was it who told me? It was a business coach who said, what's your goal of your business? Yeah, I think it was an Anthony Robbins coach. And I said, to help women transform and overcome their obstacles and achieve their highest potential. He said, no. I said, no? What do you know about it? He said, you started a business to make money. How you do it is that. But you need to make money. So you need an emphasis on money. And if that makes your stomach turn, then you're not going to have success. I really mean that. Also, women tend to experience themselves as less qualified to succeed in a big way. When you ask women, you know, do you have what it takes to bring your new venture forward and succeed in a big way? A woman will most often say, no, I'm not sure, maybe. Men will say yes, without hesitation. And again, I don't want to make women men. That's not the point. The point is we have to have a balanced approach. And if you are not feeling like you're qualified to succeed in a big way, we've got to help you feel like you are. We have to close that power gap. The third thing that separates men and women entrepreneurs, this is my term, women overfunction. We are trained to do it, culturally trained to do it. In some ways, we're neurobiologically. We have tendencies to do it. We do more than is appropriate, more than is necessary, and more than is healthy. Well, if you do too much, like you don't delegate effectively or you don't hire the help you need and you insist on doing everything yourself, you're going to severely limit your growth and you're going to get incredibly burned out. So we have to look to that. And also, women tend to shy away from owning the numbers. I can't tell you how many women say, I don't know about their financials. I don't know. I'm not good with numbers. They scare me. And I'm guilty of that as well. I'm very good with numbers, but when I'm working with numbers, I hate it. So that hatred of it that's a harsh word, isn't it? Hatred. I don't like working with numbers. I like words. I like ideas, concepts, strategies. I just don't like doing my P&L. I've got to do it. And in fact, I'm on Excel 100 times a day. Every time an order comes in, I'm documenting it. I know what's in my checkbook and my accounts to the penny. We've got to get good with numbers because numbers are a foundational tool to understand our business. So we're at 12:45. I'm going to keep going till 1 and get through this. Then I'm going to open it up for 15 minutes, okay? Should you launch your own venture? I want you to look at your motivation. And I want you to check out my YouTube video, The Pendulum Effect. It was part of a series, My 52 Mistakes, the biggest mistakes I've made in my life and work. If you're running away from something, I hate the sadness I have in my corporate life. I'm just going to go like I felt. I want to go as far away from corporate as possible. What is that? Marriage and family therapy. The problem is we tend to throw the baby out with the bathwater, and that's a mistake. You don't want to chuck everything you ever were. You want to build on how you were great. So even if in your current situation you feel very broken down, I guarantee you there's gems and kernels and foundational pillars that you want to build on. You don't want to run away. So please think about that. Watch that video. You have to make some key decisions. What type of business is best? What is my business idea, and what is the competition? I'm going to tell you quickly in the business plan how to look at that. Who specifically do you want to serve? It cannot be women. I just want to serve all women. You know, I have a very specific ideal profile of who I want to serve, and I say no to people that don't fit it. Why? Because they're not going to like the work, and I'm not going to like doing the work with them. You've got to get that clear. Do you want to create a product or a new approach, or do you want to start a business similar to what others have? How exactly will you compete? What strategies will you use? What form of business organization do you want? And finally, funding. Where are you going to get the funding? Do you know how much you need to launch and sustain the venture? And do you have a savings pad so that you can do this and you will have enough money coming in if this thing takes longer than you expect? I've come up with what I call the five M's of entrepreneurial success, and they're on slide 22. Mission, which is clarity on knowing what you're offering for whom and why. Money, knowing how to earn, grow, and manage money in an empowered way. Management, which is about leading, planning, motivating, and delegating. Marketing, I call it the know, like, and trust factor. You need some concrete marketing and promotional strategies. And mindset, prosperity through service, focused wealth building, doing work that you love. So I want you to, before you take a leap, I want you to do a lot of research. I want you to explore and make a blueprint for your business in terms of a business plan. And this takes time and effort and critical thinking. So quickly, the business plan. And you can just, I have a template you can use. You can find this anywhere. Go to score.org. You know, this details on slide 23 what you need in your business plan. What's most important is that you understand what is the competition? What is this idea? So let me go to slide 24. How do I increase my success? First of all, you've got to understand this business idea and who's competing in your market. So if you want to start a coaching practice, let's say you want to do a career coaching practice. You've got to find the top 100 people in that field, in the world. What are they doing? What's their website look like? What are their messages? What are their programs? How am I going to compete? You've got to understand the basics of business, accounting, finance, management, marketing, etc. You, as we said, you need some adequate funding, and you have to understand how to manage money, time, people, and competition effectively. And I know I'm overwhelming you. I can just sense it. So what do? You get help. You don't do this on your own. Do not launch this thing on your own in a vacuum. To build big dreams and amazing success, you need ongoing support. So I've got a list here of some great organizations. If you don't even know how to do a business plan, go to score.org. A lot of major towns have them. It's free volunteer help is amazing. I once went to a man who was the former CEO of Campbell's Soup. He was amazing. And so in a lot of towns, like for where I live, for instance, there's the Connecticut Women's Business Development Center, WBDC.org, CTWBDC.org. So find a Women's Business Development Center. There's Small Business Administration, SBA.gov. There's help. There's business coaching, score.org, emyth.com, based on the work of Michael Gerber in the E-Myth Revisited. There's business coaches, actioncoach.com. There's help for you. Some of it is expensive, some of it is free. Take advantage of it. Go to your local library and ask for help to look up how do I get help to begin the stages of considering and exploring my business. So, Sherry, you asked, how do I, let me go back to your question. What did you say exactly? How do you help people who don't have a way to see what's possible? All right. There are five steps to building a career or a business that you love. And I talk about this a lot. You can find this written a lot in all of my posts on my video blog, Work You Love. There are five steps. Step back for an empowered perspective of who you are and what you want. Let go of the thinking patterns and behaviors that are keeping you stuck. Say yes to your compelling visions. Number four is try it on and explore. For you, this is this is the most important thing. Do not leap before you try on. And that is what helps you see what's possible. So let's say you have an idea, I'm going to say, to be a coach, and you've gotten some training. Now it's time to start dimensionalizing it. So you start to build a business plan based on the template I'm showing you here, getting a little help with SCORE, and you start to try on in every conceivable way by interviewing people, by shadowing people, by reading, by going to a class. Every possible way you try on and explore this new direction before you leap. And you start to get a sense, is this right for me or not? Now, I leapt right into getting my master's in marriage and family therapy. I never for a moment thought I wouldn't be a therapist, but once I got into the internship and started doing it, I started realizing this is not for me. I don't like the identity of it. I don't like sitting here from 9 to 6, hour after hour, with what I'm dealing with. You know, but I leapt into thinking, just because I love training as a therapist, that I'm going to love doing it. How you start seeing the possibilities is you put your toe in the water. I should have talked to more therapists. I should have asked to sit in on, you know, they're in training, and when you're getting your master's, you can sit behind a window and watch someone in training. I should have asked. I should have asked to try it on. I should have explored that. And the fifth step is to create it with a SMART plan: specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. What I want to go to here is, because I see this, what keeps us stuck are not our conscious thoughts and beliefs, it's our subconscious. Apparently, our subconscious is 85% of our mind. And what I've found is, it's patterns and thinking that keep us stuck, not your conscious actions. So if you feel like you're blocked in any way, I again, read this book, Tapping Into Wealth, Margaret Lynch. She talks about financial trauma, debt, hidden agendas, resistance to big goals, and let me tell you, we have resistance. We are scared. Another book talks about it. It's called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, about every one of us almost has an upper limit problem. When you get to your certain upper limit, that's kind of a set point that was created really in your childhood or what you learned in your childhood, you start to get scared and you start to sabotage. So for me, that was about $150,000. Over that, I started to sabotage. Oh, not consciously, subconsciously. The idea also of striving, if you feel like you strive, 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 but you never arrive, there's probably a subconscious block, or feeling scared to be more visible. I mean, my wonderful Greek mother always used to say, "Tututu namina vaskathis, may the evil eye not see you." I mean, if that doesn't keep your light from shining, if that doesn't keep you running for the bushel to hide under, I don't know what. She didn't mean it that way. She didn't mean it that way, but it made me feel scared, right? Also, what holds us back is we're not good at receiving help, and we need help to do this. And finally, there is a belief that many people have, I refuse to be rich, that money is going to equal anger or conflict or guilt. I mean, how many of us have had money discussions with other people in our families, and it's led to conflict and pain and rejection? So I want you to look at what might be holding you back. All right? So let me, as we're almost out of time and I want to make sure that I've given you specifics here, I want you to start with the step of exploring this idea. Again, don't run. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Think about if you're unhappy where you are and you're thinking, a new venture is going to save me. Don't do that. Look at what you're trying to run from and address that. But then try on the direction of this new venture any way you can. If you don't feel you have what it takes, take a business class or take more training. You know, I remember feeling like, truthfully, I like to be an expert. I like to feel like I really rock in what I know and what I'm sharing. And in therapy, I felt like that would take 20 years. I had a client who called me up. I know some of you have heard this. The minute I knew I couldn't be a therapist anymore, was my client called me up and said, I'm going to kill myself today. Now, I'm going to wrap my car around a tree. And in that moment, I mean, we did help her. She's fine now. She's better now. I thought, I will never feel equipped for this. And I wouldn't have. So if you don't feel equipped, you've got to find a way to close that power gap. Take a class, interview, study, research, do your business plan. All right? And you want to create a smart plan, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. That means the goals that you have aren't so far ahead. I want to make $1 million being a coach. Too far ahead, and how? How are you going to do that? You're going to sabotage yourself if you don't know how. That said, we have to be open to, sometimes we get overly attached to how it's got to look. You definitely put your plans in shape, in place, but you need to be open to what comes your way. I mean, I've had opportunities thrown at me that I've never even considered, and I thought, well, wait a minute, hang on. That's way out of my business model, but I'm going to try that. Never thought of doing it like that. All right? So here's the one bold step I want to leave you with. It's a commitment that you are going to explore this. You're not going to get overly attached to how it's got to look. You're going to be open. What do I have to learn? What do I have to do if I want to move forward to see this with eyes wide open and make this a success? So what I'd like to ask you to do is make a commitment. And here's the commitment. I won't let another day go by without honoring the fact that I deserve more and I'm ready for more, even through all my doubts, fears, and insecurities. I really hope that's helpful. What I want to share with you in the 2 minutes, and then I'm going to open up the call, if you want career success help, if you want to figure out, is it really what I want to start a business? I'm confused. I'm not sure. I don't know how to evaluate it. I am launching a second session of my Amazing Career Project group coaching program. It helps women build successful, rewarding careers that they love. I'd love you to go check that out. It's a 16-week career success training program, 16 training videos, 16 calls with me, 16 tailored assignments and exercises, a vibrant online community, discounts to my private events and coaching. And if you're interested, because you're a career success training valued participant, I'm happy to give you a 20% discount today. And the slides show you the discount code. It's CSTACP20. CST for Career Success Training, ACP for the Amazing Career Project 20. And you go to amazingcareerproject.com. Check that out. See if that it feels like it's a fit for you. It helps you figure out, what do I really want to do here and how do I do it with success? So that's it, folks. Now if you don't have questions, I haven't done my job here. So tell me what you've got questions about. Let's spend 15 minutes all around questions. Who's got one? Somebody raise your hand here on the phone. I know some of you have to have questions. Nothing's too big, too small. Even if you don't even know what a business plan is, no worries. Ask your questions. Now's your chance. Please, let me help you. I'm going to sit here and wait patiently because I know you have a question. You can't have heard all of that material and not have a question. Who's on the phone? Oh, I'm not telling you how to raise your hands. Press star 2 on your phone. Star 2, and I'm going to see a little hand go up. And then I'll take you. Please, somebody, be brave. Ask your question. What's your business idea? What are you struggling with? What are the challenges? Let me help you. Maybe you're not in a position where you can talk about it. But then if you're online, you can submit it to me. And Sherry, ask if I don't hear from anyone else, go ahead and ask me a little more about how to have a way to see what's possible. Go ahead. Okay, I'm anxiously awaiting. I really want to answer your questions. So let me know. Please, somebody, star 2 on your phone, and then I'll see a hand go up. Let me know. Oh, I see a hand. Awesome. I don't have any info on where you're calling from, but I'm unmuting you. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Kimberly.
Hi, Kimberly. Oh, hi. I'm so glad you're on the call. Wonderful. What can I do for you? What can I answer?
Yes. I have a question regarding websites.
Yeah.
I've heard different viewpoints on it. So what's your opinion regarding people, like let's say a coach, if they want to host the pricing, they have packages that they're offering under different services. So do you feel that a coach should post the prices on their website, or do you feel that they don't? I've heard different, and I've read a lot, and I keep receiving and reading different conflicting views.
I have a really strong answer to that. It 100% depends, and let me explain that. Let me give you an example about me. I've been coaching 8 years. I'm really confident in what I do, and I'm also know who I do want to take and who I don't. And I, because I'm out there, and I'm giving you my specific example because it separates, you know, where we are, you know, people who are beginning and people who've done it for years. Because I do a lot of writing, I hear from, I am not exaggerating, 400 to 500 people a month. And many of them want free help because they think I'm a writer, and I just wrote about career help, so... So I'm bombarded, and I've come to appreciate that. But what I cannot have now is people wanting my strategy calls just to pick my brain because I can't run my business that way. So I've created free and low-cost programs for that group of person that has no funding for coaching because I want to help everybody. But the point is, when it comes to my private packages, I list the fees, and they're not cheap. But I do that because I want to hear from people who are ready to make that kind of commitment. So, I have a 10-session program that's basically $3,000 and a 24-session program that's $6,000. It's listed right there. But I don't recommend that for new coaches.
Okay.
I absolutely don't. And the reason for that is most new coaches don't feel comfortable about their pricing. They're unsure. And, you know, being a trained therapist, energy healer, coach, speaker, communications person, I know this for a fact. Somebody can tell you should start your pricing at $200 an hour or whatever. If you don't feel that, if that makes you cough up a hairball, you're not going to get it. So people can advise all they want. You have to feel into what you're worth. And what you do is start at a number you're comfortable with.
Okay.
And I would not put that on your website. But then as you, what's going to start happening is you're going to start seeing the value that you deliver, and you're going to start feeling that, wait a minute, I'm giving too much here. But you can't jump to that before you're ready. And let me just give you a huge coaching tip. If you want to attract people on your website as a coach, you need to build a list. A list of subscribers is the answer, not the, don't get me wrong. It's one of the essential tools. You have to build a list and have a newsletter or information. People today need to touch you and feel you before they plunk down money. So in order to do that, your website has to have a downloadable tool that you develop that people will download that offers them free help. And it can be a checklist, it can be a, you know, whatever. I mean, it has to be very compelling. You know, my career path assessment, 15,000 people have downloaded it from...
Oh, wow.
I know, I can't even believe it myself, from my writing on Forbes and Huffington Post and AARP. It's compelling, and I love that. It's my career path assessment. You need a tool that people download to build a list, and then you communicate with them regularly. That's how it works. It doesn't work if you have nothing to give people, nothing free, nothing. You need information and material that enlivens them and connects them to you so that they, it's a funnel. There, a lot of people you meet are not ready at all for coaching, but they might be in 6 months. But they won't think of you if you haven't been in contact with them. Does that help?
Yes, it does.
Okay, awesome. I hope so. I hope so. Great question. Thank you. Anybody else, please, no matter how small, how big, any question at all, what do you have, folks? I'm going to check my my online submissions. All right, one more. I'm going to stay on the line and really hope that you ask a question, because I know you have some. I know you have some. And what I'm really hoping here is I gave you a lot to think about, and I don't want that to be demoralizing, demotivating. What I want is that you understand the challenges of launching your own venture. It's not for the faint-hearted, but when you do it following the right steps and get the help you need when you need it and are open to what's going wrong, what isn't going well, and not break yourself against that. Like, let me give you an example around the coaching model. In the beginning, all I did was one-on-one coaching. And for me, my energy, it can be very, very exhausting. So what, and a lot of people have said, well, coaches should do group coaching. That should be part of their arsenal. And I just resisted that. I resisted it because I'm really good one-on-one. And I use my intuition, and things come up that I was afraid I couldn't. I mean, really, it was fear. How am I going to do what I do in a group setting where I can't spend a half hour with the individual and kind of psychically understand what their problems are? Well, I got over that, and man, the group coaching is so powerful. It's a whole different dynamic. They help each other. They grow together. It's awesome. But I, you know, if I really am honest with myself, I was afraid. So you've got to be open also to advice and wisdom and how you're blocked and why you're holding yourself back and what you can do differently. So any other questions? I've got Cleveland. I've got Tampa. I've got Naperville. I've got lots of different cities. I've got New York. I've got New Jersey. Anybody have a question? No? Now's your last chance. All right, my friends, I truly hope this moved you forward. What I want to share again is, don't forget, if you're interested in career success training, check out my Amazing Career Project at amazingcareerproject.com. You get a 20% discount today if you use that coupon code CSTACP20, and that expires midnight. If I can help you in any other way, don't hesitate to shoot me an email at kathy@elliacommunications.com. And I want to also share the upcoming schedule of career success training topics. We've got December 18th, Reducing Stress and Embracing Wellness and Balance. We're going to talk about work-life balance and why we don't have it and what to do to get it. On January 15th, Power Networking, Mentors, Sponsors, and Building a Support Community. In February, Overcoming Mommy Guilt and Creating More Work-Life Balance. March, Fit Is It, Determining the Best Next Professional Direction. Most people say, I know what I don't want, but I don't know what I do want. Help. April, Becoming an Inspiring Leader and Manager. May, Earning More Money Doing Work You Love. June, Building a Compelling Resume and Personal Brand Story That Aligns with Who You Really Are. So that's it, my friends. I truly hope this moves you forward. Go to the Facebook page, Career Success Training. You know, leave me a message. As always, I'm incredibly open. in ways that you think this could be improved, topics that you want to hear, let me know how I can help you. And one more question, anybody at all? No? All right, my friends, I hope this was helpful. I wish you all the best on your way to amazing success. All right, I will see you next month. I hope you'll all be on the call. And again, look for an email. It might go into your spam, but look for an email from me, Elia Communications, with your recording link and a PDF of the slides. Okay, my friends, thank you so much, and I'll see you next month. Happy holidays. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.